World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, you guys are hooked, aren't you? I was amazed. I logged on yesterday, and you guys are here in the huddle. Huh? You guys are in here in the huddle yesterday doing your own thing. I'm not complaining about it. I was inspired by it. That the idea that you guys got up anyway in the fellowship, and it was pretty cool. I gotta tell you something. I don't know how many were in there. I said to Michelle, they're in the daggone huddle. Here I wanted to give them a day off, and they're in the daggone huddle anyway. But really, I gave the day off to John and Jared and their crew. I wanted them to be able to be home with their family. So, I mean, it's all good. And God bless all of you. You're all hooked. Got you all hooked on Jesus, which is really, really a good thing. And hooked on fellowship. And, yeah, I'm getting my communion ready to go if you wonder what I'm doing. Look, I'm going to go. Joe's going to do communion with us today, but I want to go from a different perspective today, real quick, before we get into it, Joe. And because we didn't have a show yesterday, just give me a couple minutes. Give me a couple minutes to get this straightened out. That it's Thanksgiving. Yesterday was Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Hey, Spencer, do me a favor, dude. Or Johnny, I guess it's Jonathan's morning. Pull up for me. I'm grateful today. I don't know how many of you have read this. I sent it out to some of you yesterday, but we're going to take communion, and this all leads up together. So hang in there with me. I wrote this yesterday, and I want us all to think about our mindsets, really. Our mindset as we go about our day and about our lives. And we had a great gathering here last night with my some of my extended family, a bunch of us here, love of family. And I was reminiscing on how when I grew up, we would go to Thanksgiving gathering. All of my mom's family would come. There'd be 50, 60 of us there. And Michelle and I trying to carry on the same tradition, but not everybody always comes. Everybody has their own families. Things change a little bit. But I wrote this on Wednesday, I think it was, and posted it on yesterday at News with Hughes. Of course, it's Thanksgiving Day, so most people don't read it. I want to share this with you because I think it. I read this last night at our group prayer before we group prayer. So I'm writing this on the day before Thanksgiving. It just so happens that my usually weekly commentaries being posted here on Turkey Day. I don't want this to be a cheesy Thanksgiving's a good thing commentary, but rather a genuine moment of reflection on how blessed we all are and don't even realize it. The focus of so much of what we discuss deals with the negative, things that are wrong with our lives, and I hope to change your focus a bit. After all, it is Thanksgiving Day, right? Not gripe and moan day, it's Thanksgiving Day. So I'm grateful today. I'm grateful that I have all my fingers and toes, my eyes work, that I have 1.7 reading glasses that I can get at the dollar store. I have a functioning digestive system. I got a mouthful of teeth. I'm grateful for a warm house, a roof that doesn't leak, trees in my yard, nuts on the trees and squirrels that eat the nuts. I'm grateful for cars that run, brakes that work, wipers, blades, dome lights, and the fuzz buster, which Betty gave me. I'm thankful for electricity, gasoline, paint removers, step ladders, light bulbs, air conditioners, heaters, coffee pots, and garbage disposals. I'm grateful for showers, hot tubs, dishwashers, refrigerators, microwaves, infrared saunas, septic tanks, and toilet paper. I'm grateful for a big soft bed, Love of my life lying beside me, my special pillow, the ceiling fan above the bed, the gun on the nightstand, and the alarm clock that usually awakens me each morning. I'm grateful for mouthwash, toothpicks, taste buds, toothbrushes, toilets adjacent to the bedroom, and soap. Somebody can say amen at any time here. I'm grateful for wrenches and hammers and vice grips and air compressors and scissors and shovels and rakes and cuss words sometimes. I'm grateful for firewood, air fresheners, paper towels, duct tape, flush toilets, Bic lighters, riding lawnmowers, and porch swings. I'm grateful for memories, life experiences, love and hate, up and down, right and left, in and out, right and wrong. I'm grateful for the changing of the seasons, sunny days, rain when we need it, snow in small amounts, sunsets, and those to share all of that stuff with. I'm grateful for tough times, overcoming them, learning from them, and the life lessons that they teach. I'm grateful for pizza, pepperoni, ice cream, fruit, veggies, beef, cheese, oatmeal, nuts, ice cubes, and fresh water to drink. I'm grateful for pain and pain relief, for fear and courage, for corrections and direction, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, upset stomachs and Pepto-Bismol, and the burden of fatigue, and oh, the gift of relief when I can rest. I'm grateful for disagreements and reconciliation, war and peace, good and bad, ugliness and beauty, sowing and reaping, laughter and tears, and the fear and the comfort of silence. I'm grateful for family feuds and family bonds, for things that matter and for things that don't, and the understanding the difference. I'm thankful for heritage and legacy, duty and honor, thick blood and unwavering loyalty. I'm grateful that God loves and God hates. He rewards and he punishes. He gives justice and he gives mercy. I'm grateful that he saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
I'm just getting started and I'm out of space. You can add some of your own. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, dudes, think on these things. Stop complaining about how bad everything is. A joyful heart is the key to happiness. Happy Thanksgiving or grumpy Thanksgiving? Choice is yours. Look around. Man, there's so much to celebrate. May the joy of the Lord be your strength this holiday season. I choose wine and roses over pickles and prune juice." Somebody say amen. Huh? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's Thanksgiving. Amen. It's not complain giving. It's not whatever. It's not gripe giving. It's Thanksgiving. Amen. I'm grateful today. So before we take... communion, pull up Big Daddy Weave, because this is every day I'm grateful for this. Go ahead.
Seems like could see was the struggle, haunted a ghost that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, this prisoner, and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake out
I'm redeemed.
Redeemed, you know, Jared, I just sent you something there, Johnny. Just sent you, if you can look in the email there. Man, oh man. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that would save a wretch like me. Redeemed, I went to Webster's. Redeemed means ransomed, delivered from bondage. Can anybody out there say amen? Am I the only one feeling this today? Huh?
Amen.
Do you have any idea?
Amen.
Do you have any idea what I used to be? Do you have any idea?
Hallelujah.
What that man inside of me used to be? Huh? Do you have any idea? I've been delivered from bondage. I've been delivered from distress. I've been delivered from the family. I've been delivered from liability or from the possession of another. Somebody else owned me. They owned me. Somebody else owned me. The Lord bought me back. Anybody out there other than me remember those days when you used to collect pop bottles? You'd go to the grocery store and they would redeem the pop bottle for 2 cents. Anybody remember that? Am I the only guy who used to walk up and down the street trying to pick up pop bottles and take them and get them, go to Fitch's grocery store, and I'd go in there and they'd give me 2 cents for everyone, and I'd take up six of them and I'd leave out of it with 12 cents. I redeemed them. Are you redeemed? Are you ransomed, delivered from bondage? Has somebody paid your debt? Are you a new creature? Dude, I am, man, oh, man, oh, man. And he's still conforming me to his image, still, every day.
Amen.
And here's how conformed I am, transformed I am. I didn't even think about football yesterday. And I'd have been sitting in front of the TV watching it's always the Cowboys. They always play, and Detroit always play. And I couldn't care less. Why? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And you know what's really, really bad? Come on now. Not everybody likes the new me. Not everybody likes the new redeemed coach. Or how about this? The new redeemed Uncle Dave. They like the old guy. They like the old beer drinking, poker playing, cussing guy. They like that guy. No matter how I try to tell them, they don't get it. That old boy's dead. That guy's dead. I'm redeemed. I'm a new creation in Christ. I can't explain it. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. You know, the sad thing here on Thanksgiving weekend, you know, the sad thing is the average churchgoer ain't got any idea what it means to be redeemed. Somebody say amen. I've been to church your whole life and didn't understand what had happened inside of them, that they were redeemed.
Amen.
Are you redeemed today? Are you redeemed? Or are you still carrying around that old body of death? People want to, you know, say, oh, coach, I remember when you said, yeah, don't even remind me. That's a different guy. I don't want to hear about it. Huh? I'm an unconvicted felon. Any other unconvicted felons out there? I'm one. I don't know how many felonies I committed in my life. I don't know how. I'm redeemed. Price has been paid. It's under the blood. I'm a new creation in Christ. I just really feel it today. You know what else I really feel? My wife's redeemed. She's redeemed. And she and the woman I married, she's a new version of it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's so sad that we don't really explain redemption in church. We tell people, come to Jesus, you'll get nice stuff and good stuff. You'd be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Come to Jesus for that. No, no, no. Dude, you are scum till you get redeemed. He washes all that scum off of you. And I was having a conversation with Michelle this morning just about how many Christians don't get it, don't understand it, are not redeemed. Or if they are redeemed, they don't understand it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they are really born again, really redeemed, and don't know how to walk in it. I think there's maybe a lot of that. Otherwise, how do you explain the silence of the Christian world in face of all this wickedness? How can you be a servant of Christ? He told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How can you have that inside of you and sit silently in the pew and not do anything about it? I just write it off as that they really aren't saved or they don't know what happened to them. Pretty deep, man. Pretty deep. We're going to get ready to take communion here. And we don't even know what that means. Not really. The Bible says, without the shedding, the soul that sins, it must die. I don't know where that is, but it's in the scriptures. The soul that sins, it must die. So if you sinned, the wages of sin is death. If you sinned, dude, you got to die. It's the wages. You got to pay. And Jesus picked up the tab. See, it's not as if your sin didn't ever happen. It's like it's redeemed. He paid it. He got the receipt. All those sins, and you add it up like a receipt that you get at the store. Potatoes this much, beans this much, pop this much. Down you walk away from Kroger's, and it's all added up, and there's everything that you bought on that list. And down at the bottom, it says $82.50. And when you pay it, they stamp it, and it's redeemed. It's paid for. But if you walk out without paying for it, then we'll come after you. A lot of you walking around with a bill longer than your arm, somebody's going to have to pay that for you. No. You're going to have to pay it. The wages of sin is death. So the gospel message is that Jesus Christ intervened. He brought his credit card and he went to Kroger's and he ran his credit card through the machine. He paid your bill. How many times do you keep going back to Kroger's and running up that bill and expecting him to come and run his card through there again for you? It's pretty deep, isn't it? And so we go to church and we take communion. We don't even understand what that means. Jesus said, "This is my body. I'm gonna pay with this credit card. It's right here, this credit card. I'm gonna pay with it. And I'm gonna cover it with my blood. So that it's not that you're not guilty. You're forgiven. The price has been paid. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. He redeemed the coupon for you. He paid the bill. He ran the credit card. Said, put all those sins that Betty Perkins did, to put all those sins on my account. Would you do that for me? And he runs the card. We take communion so lightly. Meant the world to him. It's his blood. Are you redeemed? Are you redeemed? Or are you just a churchgoer? Just one of those churchgoing conservative Republicans? Or are you redeemed? It's deep, man. I thank God this morning for the blood. I thank you that he saved a wretch like me. And I thank you I got a mouthful of teeth. Amen. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead and lead us here in this great, great remembrance of what it was. See, every time we take communion, you can go into your files and you can pull out the bill, the receipt, the bill that you owed. You can go pull it out and say, look at this. It's paid for. It's paid for. I'm going to stand. We all think we're going to enter the pearly gates. I'm going to stand at pearly gates and the Lord's going to say, why should I let you in? And you're going to hand him that receipt. He's going to look at it and say, dude, free pass. Come on in. But it wasn't free to you. I mean, it might be free to you. It might be free to me. It wasn't free to him. It cost him a lot. Come on in, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. Yeah, there's lots to be thankful for. And we often forget. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for today. We come to you after a day where we most of us ate too much. Many of us probably committed that sin of gluttony. We were with friends and family and remembering the past, some watching sports, everybody has good memories of Thanksgiving, Lord. But we realize that not everybody always has a good Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's family, broken, dysfunctional families. Sometimes it's homelessness. Sometimes it's real challenges in our lives. And we know that we are to be thankful for our challenges that make us stronger. But sometimes that is really hard to do, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for all of those who don't remember that they have things to be thankful for. They might not know you. And if they do, they may have not thanked you on Thanksgiving, Lord, if they're overwhelmed with challenges. So we ask you to come to all these hearts that know you and those that don't know you yet. And please come to them all. Take the burden from their hearts. And those that don't know you, Lord, go to them in a dream or through a neighbor, through a friend, through family, and let them come to our family now as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for our country. And things are looking better, Lord, but we know there's a huge spiritual battle going on. We ask that the true justice come to this country. Mm-hmm. For it has been absent for so long.
Yes.
And we ask that abundance be shared where it is needed most. And we thank you for this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this tradition, this meal that heals, to remember, to think about, to practice, and to understand that we are redeemed. And there was no guarantee. It was just done by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we did not deserve it. But he found us worthy anyway. And we ask that you forgive us our sins and our transgressions as we come in to your presence with this Holy Communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, producer, if I could have the first reading and then the other. Oh, wait, my screen is frozen there. There it is. Could I have the one from 1 Peter first? I think that was probably. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Amen. Boy.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen, boy.
It just fits like a glove today, doesn't it?
Doesn't it ever, huh?
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Wow.
Thank you, everybody.
Amen. Amen. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Oh, my goodness. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. All right. Where am I? Anybody get? Let me just pause for a second. Good. Come on in, Craig.
I try to explain the scriptures to someone. I use the three R's. I said it was the relationship that mankind had in the garden. Then once he got kicked out, it's the redemption story from the beginning of Genesis to Revelations. Then it's the restoration of eternity, that we go back and we have the restored relationship that Adam had with God. It's the three R's of the Bible.
Amen. 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 You know, I think, I don't know. I don't know about you, your personal walk, my personal walk. I'm telling you, when I receive Christ for me, I tell people it's like what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. I walked away from that altar brand new. I can't explain it. Didn't even know what to do with it. It's been a lifelong of working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. But something happened to me. I was born from on high, man. I was. And, you know, you can't explain that experience to somebody. Either have or you haven't. And wouldn't you know it, I wrote it down here in front of my Bible. My sister wrote it down here for me. It was on 1/28. That's my wife's birthday. Michelle's birthday. 1/28/87. I became a new creature in Christ. Is that something? I didn't think it could be. It'll happen to me. Mary Beth, come on in.
I just wanted to add one more to those three R's, because for me, it helps me to remember. So remember, relationship, redemption, and restoration.
Amen. Three R's. The three R's. Amen. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I'm going to pause. Said a lot already. Anybody want to respond? I got more. I'm not out of stuff. But before we make a transition away from it, I'll just give you an opportunity to come in. Pull up number two. I saw this morning. I thought, Lord, how do we get from this? Anybody remember Father Knows Best? And I was thinking about this weekend. Can you guys name one one. I'm going to make this really, really simple for you. One broadcast show. Remember, they used to have weekly shows, and all you had was ABC, NBC, and CBS. You just had three channels. And, you know, they had the same shows on Monday night at 7 o'clock this was on, and Tuesday night at 8 o'clock this was on, and every week. Then cable came along and yada, yada, yada. Can you guys name for me right now? I'm going to just pause because I don't watch TV. I don't know. Can anybody think of any, or tell me of any, what they would call situational, whatever they call these things, that glorifies the Lord in any, that
nope.
is in any way moral and at the center of the programming? Morality. Is there any at all out there? Does anybody know anyone?
No. Nope.
One even close? I don't know of any. And I think Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. I could run down the litany. Andy Griffith. Thank you, Cheryl. All of those. We grew up with them. And what happened? We grew up with them. We had morality taught to us everywhere we went. You went in the house, it was moral. You turned on the TV, it was for the most part moral. You went to school and it was moral. Everywhere you went, they were reinforcing the same values. Look at today. Let it be a witness that you right now can't name one show that teaches any type of biblical morality. Archie Bunker was popular and famous because it was so not biblical. It was a caricature of what they thought real Christians were. All in the family. Meaning you could say whatever you wanted to say behind closed doors and it didn't matter. It's all in the family. We had the Waltons come along and watch this clip and ask yourself if this would get by the censors today. Father Knows Best. What was his name? Huh? Anybody remember his name?
Robert Young.
Robert Young and his pretty wife. By the way, he was always dressed in a tie. She was always dressed beautifully as a housemaker, a homemaker. Jane Wyman. What was her name? Robert Young. And I woke up with this. I watched this show in my house. My brothers and sisters, we watched Father Knows Best. Did anybody else watch that? We didn't watch all the crap they have on there. We sat around as a family and watched it. And play this clip.
Do you mind terribly if we don't eat out?
I don't mind, dear.
I know, I promised you dinner, but, well, I'd just rather eat here.
I'm afraid there isn't anything to eat.
Oh, I saw some hamburger in the icebox.
Hamburger on Thanksgiving?
Even when I was a boy. Time when the whole family got together and had fun.
There's nothing like hamburgers for Thanksgiving. I'm starving.
So am I.
Well, I feel I'd like to say thanks in a rather special way. Oh, Lord, we give thee thanks from the depths of our humble hearts for all the blessings thou hast seen fit to bestow upon us. We thank thee for the food which graces our table, the roof which covers our head. We thank thee for the privilege of living as free men in a country which respects our freedom and our personal rights to worship and think and speak as we choose. We thank thee for making us a family, for giving us sincerity and understanding. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank thee for giving us the greatest gift a family may know. The gift of love for one another. Amen.
Amen.
Margaret.
Is that unbelievable? And see, then in 1947, they came along and they told us that there was a separation between the church and state. And then all of a sudden, religion became offensive, right? Hey, folks, we weren't talking about Buddhism and Mormonism and Islam. We were talking just about Christianity. And everybody in America was expected to be Christian. Now, we know they weren't Christian, but they were expected to be Christian. They were expected to obey the Ten Commandments. We taught it in our school. We expected it as everyone. It didn't matter. It wasn't about salvation. It was about can two walk together lest they agree. And look at what we have there. Multiculturalism. You understand? That was the devil's trick. Multiculturalism. How can we have a nation when we can't even agree on what's right and what's wrong? How did we get to the point in America on Thanksgiving where they're killing babies? They're cutting off the sexual appendages of little boys, and we're accepting it. That they're taking transsexuals and putting it in our schools, paid for by Christians with churches support. What the heck? I think the tide is really, really beginning to change. And I think it's a good thing. Pull up number 9. I'm going to open it up. Come on in here if you want to. Number 9. This is really good. Senator John Kennedy. You guys know him. I like this old boy, Dale. He's down there in your country. We need plain spoken. Now, I'm telling you, my friends, the tide has so swung. Are you noticing now that girls are refusing to compete against boys who claim to be girls? They are choosing to not win rather than give in to the culture and the society. They're beginning to do it. There's pushback coming. And for so long, we've been taught not to judge, and who are you to judge, and love everybody. Hey, how's that worked for us, friends? How's that worked for us? So listen to what this good old boy, listen to what this good old boy says. Scroll on down, Spence. Or Johnny, I'm sorry, Johnny. Just 2 minutes. This is 2 minutes of oorah. Go ahead.
So we went through an election, Senator, where their mm-hmm. closing argument is that if you like Donald Trump, you're garbage. He's a fascist, a racist, and a Nazi. That was their closing argument. And I noticed a lot of the Hollywood elite. I'd be negligent if I didn't ask you about this. You know, Alec Baldwin mm-hmm. calling the American people deliberately ignorant. Sharon Stone saying that Americans are ignorant, arrogant, and adolescent. You have a New York state legislator that wants, New York to secede from the union along with Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont. What is your reaction to all that? I think you're going to have a very unique take.
Here's what I think. I think these people are goofy. They have the right to their opinion, but they're just goofy. They hate George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head. They think our kids ought to be able to change genders at recess. They carry around Ziploc bags of kale to give themselves energy. To me, to each his own. To me, kale tastes like I'd rather be fat. Now, these people are entitled to their opinion, but they have an unwarranted sense of moral and intellectual superiority. They think they're smarter than and more virtuous than the American people. And they think we're not real people, but we were and we are real people. And in this last election, we got real mad and we sent a message clearly, unequivocally. And my message to all my friends and my enemies in America is happy Thanksgiving and stay deplorable, my friend.
So we went.
Gotta love a guy like that, huh? Gotta love a guy. Somebody come on in. Come on,
What did he just say? Stay what at the end?
Deplorable.
Oh.
Yeah. In other words, the deplorables are the right ones, right? Hey, folks, It says something about them when they don't like us. It says something, really, really says something about them. Mm-hmm. And for too long, see, we've coddled them. We've been afraid to offend them. And that just ain't worked very good. Just hadn't worked very well. Raj, come on in.
Oh, I'm coming in and out a little bit late. But, you know, I'm so thankful on this day after Thanksgiving that I didn't take that damn shot.
Oh, man, Roger. Huh?
I'm so thankful that the vast majority of my family, but for a very small percentage, did not engage in that shot. And I'm just grateful that it's not in my system. It's not in my wife's system. I feel for people who were so misguided and so misled because of the unknown that may be coming, or the known that may be coming, you know. So I don't know where this fits in the morning, but I'm just grateful.
Pull up number 10. Funny you should bring that up, right? I was going to do a whole show on this, but this is a funeral director, friends, a funeral director. Go ahead.
November 2024, and my name is John. I am a funeral director. I've been a funeral director for 18 years. 10 of those were spent working for Cooperative Funeral Care, and the last 8 have been running my own funeral home here in where I live in Milton Keynes. The name of the funeral home that I run is Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. It's abbreviated MKFFS. Please look it up on the smartphone that you'll have in your pocket before you go in and take a vaccine. And the reason that I say that is I'm seeing a massive amount of vaccine recipients who are dying and who are coming into us in record numbers, younger than ever than I've ever seen, and they're full of white fibrous blood clots, and it looks very much like calamari. I've never seen anything like it. The government and the coroners and the doctors and the nurses, they all know about it. And let me tell you, if you look at the excess death numbers, you'll see it for yourself. If anyone wants to verify it with me as a funeral director, please give me a call on 01908 505570. Please do not go into this vaccine center and get any of these gene therapies. They're very dangerous. I'm seeing lots and lots of deaths. And as a funeral director and a man who cares very much about other people, I would urge you just to take 5 minutes to give me a call to verify what I've said. And the danger is that we are so far in now that people's health is suffering. And as their health suffers, they become vulnerable and they need more protection. And I think in your heart, you know, this continuous rollout of never-ending jabs isn't right. Please don't do it. Please just take 2 minutes to give me a call as a funeral director. I'm in the funeral home constantly. I'll gladly verify everything I've said. It's Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. It's 01908 505570. Don't take these jabs. They're so dangerous. And I tell you, as a funeral director, do you know how many I've had? None. I won't have any. And I've washed and dressed them all the way through COVID. How can I still be here? Please listen to me. I hope I hear from you and you know, I can save a life. November.
There you go, man. There you go. Okay, so Johnny, here you go, man. Google calamari, CALAMARI pictures.
You know, Dave.
Pictures, images.
You know, Dave.
Of live calamari. I go, just put pictures in up there, Johnny. Put calamari pictures. So he said, this is what the blood clots look like. There's a calamari. There they are. It's a form of lobster, calamari. These are the blood clots that they're pulling out. Roger, it's a squid. Oh. Yeah, Janine, it's a squid.
Huh? Dave, just to say something quickly, you know, I think about all of the media, the pressure, everything to get people to take these. I mean, it was unbelievable. The message that came to us in every direction. And I attribute much of my resistance to some extent to this program in the morning. I know turn in for various reasons, biblical and cultural and all that. But one thing that I think that spoke to many of us was this program that we every day we were being fed kind of stay away from this, stay away from this, Amen. Stay away from this. And I think that helped myself, and as I would push our family away from it. So I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that, as well as the other things I've received from the program and Q. Yeah. But I just if we would ever remember what they did to try to get us to take that shot.
It's amazing.
And then it got down to the local, you know, the guy you worked with asking you, and just it just is that you think of it's unbelievable how we are a peculiar people, some of us.
We are, that's right. We're all hung together
maybe,
in here.
Maybe we are ornery. I don't know, but my goodness, I'm grateful that is not flowing through my system.
But Roger, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. If I was a lawyer, which I'm not, do you have any idea how much money is going to be made by people now knowing they were forced to take a vaccine that the government knew was not safe?
Yeah, no, it. I agree with you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you.
I know the cue. Some days we love the lawyers, and some days we hate the lawyers.
Yeah. Well, here's the truth. The life insurance companies are gone broke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. What a time. I'm glad I'm redeemed. Kevin Van Story, come on in.
Wasn't it Dr. Sherry Tenpenny that said that on the third and fourth year, you're going to see a massive amount of people dying off, having all kinds of issues from the shot? And I'm, as you said, we're kind of a peculiar people. But Dave, I've always went against the grain. I've always been outside the box before I ever met you. So we just kind of melded together that way. So
well, Roger was right. This has been a good place that we all stay together, right? We encourage one another not to do it because everybody else was telling you to do it. And you'd come in here every morning. We say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And people hung on to it.
And I want you to know I'm thankful for Past Assault Ministries and Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Thanks, man. I tell everybody just doing my job. Appreciate it, Kevin. Craig, come on in.
Amen, Roger. And I think there was a story in the Bible about a fig tree. It says 3 years. He looked at it and says, give it one more year. And if it doesn't produce any fruit, cut it down. Mm. Well, when was the first jab in the world? That'd be December 8th, 2020. We're coming up on the four-year anniversary of that. But we're in the Valley of Decision still, Coach. We're in a valid decision, and I put in there of the week that we should be sitting there, and I'm, you know, thinking about all these people in North Carolina and the how quick travesty can come upon you, unexpected, and the idea of that you expect today to come up and the electricity's on and there's food in the stores and your credit card's going to go through and all these things. We have expectations like we have some sort of covenant with God that he is supposed to provide everything for us. And we're never that. Yeah. And I look at, you put in there about Father Knows Best. What movie came out last weekend is doing well. How many millions of people are going to see it this weekend? Wicked. And this is, and people are watching and paying money based off the Wizard of Oz. They have a humble heart. They have a grateful heart. They're grateful for the blood of Christ over them.
Mm.
So we're in the Valley Decision and the time of judgment. The Lord's given us a great pause, but we can't lose respect. We can't lose time and place where we're at.
Amen. And today's show ought to be Father Knows Least. That's what the media is doing, right? The last person you would listen to would be your father. He's a dork. Your dad's a dork, right? Oh, man, God help us. Mary Beth and Betty, excuse me.
I love all the different people on here. But I want to just say that, you know, my daughter is vax injured and she's a nurse, and I begged her, and a friend of mine really talked to her with a calmness, you know, because I tend to get very freaked out. And I told her, I said, you can come and live at my apartment. She's very smart. She could have got another job. And she even just took the flu vaccine. And I keep telling her, don't take any more vaccines. They have mRNA in them. And it's just like, oh, she's not saved yet. But I'm still praying for that. But
well, it's the same thing.
That's my story.
Here's the truth, Mary Beth. My daughter, Abby, I love Abby to death. She says, last night, Thanksgiving, Dad, you always think you're right.
That's what they say to me.
I said, okay, well, honey, tell me where I've been wrong. And she couldn't. Betty, come on in.
Yes, I did owe Kevin, Roger, and Craig on what they say, you know, but I really am grateful when you asked yesterday what people were grateful for. And I really appreciate that because I had said that Jesus knew me before I was formed. He knew what I was going to go through.
Amen.
And through that, I learned that. And I am so grateful for Past Assault. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Betty. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it. David or Sherry, both of you, loud in.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much, Coach, again this morning. Yep. You know, as we're speaking of things we're thankful for, and I'm with Roger and everyone else that, but for the grace of God, there go I with the shot. I mean, I was not smart enough by myself to avoid that, so I can only give credit
to you.
That's the Lord. But one thing I do think, and we need to keep in the forefront of our minds, is I always think of the confrontation the Lord had with the rich young ruler. And he said, what must I do to enter in the gates of heaven? Well, obviously, the answer is, there's nothing you can do. But he tested him. He went through a litany of things. And he's like, hey, I'm doing pretty good so far. I've done all those things, Lord. But what happens is the Lord tests our heart. And he keeps going down. He's going to come to something that we really don't want to let go of.
Amen, baby.
And so I want to encourage everyone this morning that we can be thankful for the things that we've avoided. But at the same time, let's look at our heart. Is there anything that we haven't given over to God? Yeah. And that's really what he wants us to do. Praise God.
That's right. The Lord said, that rich young ruler, he'd done it all, right? And the Lord said, okay, cool. You're really good. Now go sell everything and give it to the poor and come back. Because the Lord always knows where your heart is. Mark Mattingly.
Yeah, Coach. I agree with Roger 100%. I'm so glad that I didn't take the jab, but it's a blessing now that God's shining light on this, and there's going to be more revealed, and we're going to learn even more. But who was it? Mary Beth just saying that you know, not to take the flu shot because we see that this industry is corrupt. And the shot and maybe these other vaccinations and other drugs are just a way of funneling money to an industry that has lobbied people in Washington to be favorable to them and to be against the taxpayers, to take taxpayer money and just line their pockets, or else they'd probably be out of business too. So we know what they're about, and we know not to take their product. We know it's pure evil. We know to oppose it. And so it's like a lot of times through stress and adversity in human history, God's used it to reveal his truth to those that are turned to him. So praise God for it. It breaks my heart for the people that have lost loved ones and that are going to be sick. It really does. But I praise God that he has allowed light to shine here. And I think it'll shine more too.
Amen. So here's what they do, folks. They poison your food to make you sick. And then they create drugs to make you think they're going to make you well. They got us on both ends of it, right? But luckily, Bible says we shall eat any deadly thing and it will not harm us. It may slow us down, may make us fat, may cause some problems, but I'm going to tell you something. Pharmakia ain't the answer to it. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow.